Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
There's thought to be somewhere in the region of between 50 to 100 cases of Lyme disease in Ireland each year. But how much do we really know about it? And what services or help do we offer to people who were diagnosed with Lyme disease? Karen is with us on the line today in County Kerry. Karen, tell us about your experience of living with Lyme disease.
So basically, I apparently was bitten when I was very young. At the moment, I'm actually nearly 29. So they think I was bitten when I was a child. I had a lot of symptoms such as headaches and back pain. And I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia in Ireland when I was 14. And then when I turned 25, my symptoms just took a drastic downturn. And it went from just headaches and back pain to fainting, you know, pain all over my body, random symptoms. And I actually developed having some seizures or fits as well. And I went through this for about a year before I was properly diagnosed in Germany. In Ireland, they didn't know what it looked like. They kind of dismissed the idea of Lyme disease. And when my symptoms progressed, they said that it looked like MS. And so I'm glad now that I took matters into my own hands and actually got tested in Germany, where they do more, we'll say, like more intense testing. And it showed up in black and white that I had Lyme disease. And I actually did the Irish treatment of long-term antibiotics with the one specialist in Ireland that specialises in Lyme disease, Dr. Lambert, but unfortunately it was too late for me and this treatment didn't do anything for me. If anything, I got worse and got more weak. And we were just left stranded. There was absolutely nothing left for me to try here. They kind of just told me to get comfortable. So I took matters into my own hands and I researched clinics elsewhere, and I found a clinic in Germany, spoke to a lot of people that had been there, and I actually went fundraising, and thanks to the public I was able to fundraise and get treatment abroad, and that was 2 years ago.
Okay.
Very intense treatment, and that was in March 2022, so now we're 2 years down the line since treatment.
You didn't get your diagnosis then in Ireland, Karen. So how do they know that you, or why did they think that you contracted Lyme disease at a very young age as a young child?
Well, I did have a lot of tick bites, and just from, I suppose, research and word of mouth, and you know, people talking to me, various nurses and stuff, they said it looked like it could be Lyme disease, and we just put two and two together. And because I did have many bites as a child, I suppose where we live in the countryside in County Kerry, that it was just, we were left with nothing, nothing more to look for. All the other tests were coming back clear, yet I was getting more and more sick. The thing that did come back as positive was arthritis in my lower back, which I later found out can be caused by Lyme disease when it's left untreated for a period of time. So basically, when I did my tests in Germany, and then I was under the treatment of Dr. Lambert in Dublin. So he did his clinical diagnosis then as well, and he did confirm that it was neurological Lyme disease.
Okay.
Because it actually was left go so long that it affected my brain, not just my joints like it does for some people.
How are you at the moment, Karen? Like day to day, how does this affect you?
Well, on a positive note, I'm miles better than I was before. Since my treatment in Germany, if anything, that saved my life. It changed my life. I couldn't walk before I went there. And they did tell me at the end of my treatment that they had little hope that if I had left to go any longer, things might have been a lot different. But I do have a quality of life back, thank God. I'm able to leave the house and I have a job that I love now. I went back to work in March this year. I actually trained as a yoga teacher because that helped me. So that's what I'm doing now. I had to change career from a secondary school teacher. And I'm at a stage now where I can handle the condition much better. The symptoms are still challenging. Probably would be considered tough symptoms for a healthy person. But in comparison to how I was, It's a miracle. And I just see it in that sense. And like, my message is a message of hope that, you know, to keep trying with different treatments and to hang in there, because I didn't know for the past 2 years, you know, how much better I would get. Whereas now I can actually have some quality of life back, which is a miracle, and it's amazing.
Yeah, sometimes it seems like a very, you know, it's such a huge thing to be so grateful for, and yet the rest of it, rest of us, I suppose, Karen, just take it for granted. What about you, Trudy? When were you diagnosed with Lyme disease?
Hi, me okay?
Yes, I can indeed.
Perfect. So I became sick with Lyme about 7 years ago, and similar to Karen, was misdiagnosed for a good few years. So it was only correctly diagnosed as Lyme disease also with Dr. Lambert in the Mater Hospital about 3 years ago now. I was on treatment with Dr. Lambert for 2 years before I started to notice massive improvements.
And what were your symptoms, Trudy?
So my symptoms were also mainly neurological. I had really, really intense chronic fatigue, to the point where I was bedbound for really large periods of time. I also had optical nerve damage from Lyme. It attacked my eyes. And I would also get fainting and dizziness, have fainting spells, and then also had a symptom that's called air hunger, which is basically the Lyme sort of targets the oxygen levels in your blood cells. So my oxygen levels are reduced, the experience of that was sort of feeling like you're underwater and you can't get enough air. So it was a lot of different symptoms, but I think the kind of most long-lasting one out of all of them was really severe fatigue.
And just that cripples, I'm sure, any ability to be able to do all of the things, Trudy, that you want day to day.
Yeah. I mean, my life was completely changed. I used to work full time as a youth worker, and I had to leave work because I just couldn't function. And I would be I could go bedbound from anywhere between a week to 6 weeks at a time. It really kind of transformed my ability to work, but also my ability to have a social life and do all the things that you'd want to be doing in your 20s.
How difficult was it to get that diagnosis?
It was quite difficult, yeah. I was misdiagnosed a good few times, and it was only... I was with a thyroid doctor who recommended getting tested for Lyme, and same as Catherine, the test had to be done in Germany by a specialist lab, because the testing here, I was tested for Lyme here with my GP, but even when I went for the test, the GP was like, this is probably going to come back negative because the testing that we use is really inaccurate. So it was sort of the GPs and the nurses are aware that, you know, the system that is in place at the moment for testing and diagnosis is really poor, but there's still not a shift in how that's done.
So did you go to Germany as well, the same as Karen?
My testing was sent abroad. After my thyroid doctor recommended it, I got in touch with Dr. Lambert, and he would have sent me the details for what, basically giving me the sort of blood test to be done, and sent that across to the lab in Germany.
When you mention Dr. Lambert, Professor Jack Lambert, who's a consultant in infectious disease at the Mater and specialises very much in the area of Lyme disease, Jack Lambert is with us here on Lunchtime Live as well. Stay on the line, Trudy and Karen, if you don't mind. Jack, what do we need to know about Lyme disease? Or why does it take so long to get a diagnosis?
Well, first off, you kind of quoted the Irish government says there's 100 cases a year. Well, how do they know? They just made that up. They don't keep track of it. So there's probably 2,000 cases, not 100 cases. So this is the issue. It's kind of downplayed as being a serious disease, you know, and people say, oh, there are no ticks in Ireland, and even if there are, they don't carry Lyme disease. Well, they do. We did studies. 5 to 15% of the ticks carry Lyme in Ireland. And they carry more than just Lyme. They carry Babesia, Anaplasma, Rickettsia, other infections. And it's all published in the medical literature. But the GPs don't know about it. The specialists don't know about it. So I think Lyme is a very common disease in Ireland. Ticks are all over Ireland. And some of them carry Lyme disease. And then if you get a tick bite, you don't always see the tick bite. And people always say, oh, you didn't see the tick. It can't be Lyme. Well, the tick is the size of a sesame seed. The next thing is sometimes you get this bullseye rash. But then I saw a patient today and she was given a diagnosis of MS. And the bullseye rash was said, oh, that must be ringworm. But she got sick after getting this mystery ringworm. And it was diagnosed as MS. And 10 years later, I put her on antibiotics and she's getting better. Her MS is reversing on antibiotics. So it probably was Lyme disease. So I think it's probably more common in Ireland than we're aware of. The testing is imperfect. It's 50-50. You know, not everybody makes an antibody against the infection. And a lot of times people are told we won't even do the antibody test because it couldn't be Lyme. There is no Lyme in Ireland.
So is that why we're exporting so many people, we'll say like Trudy and Karen, to Germany and other countries then, where they seem to have a better testing model?
Well, that's what happens. But then again, if somebody gets testing in Germany and brings it back to Ireland, the specialists and the GPs are told, oh, these tests are not accredited, you know, blah, 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 we don't accept them, which is total nonsense because the laboratories in Germany are accredited. You know, they've got international accreditation, probably better accreditation in Ireland. So it's a huge challenge for patients at every level. You know, the HSE says there's Lyme is very rare in Ireland, that they say their test is 100% accurate. It's best at 50% accurate. And then finally, the treatment for Lyme disease is that, you know, they say that, oh, even if you get a tick bite, the infection will magically go away without treatment. I've been told this by specialists. It doesn't go away without treatment. And then finally, the treatment that they give in Ireland is 2 weeks of antibiotics. And if you've had this infection for years and years, there's lots of studies now to show it takes longer treatment. And patients are denied that in Ireland. So they often have to go abroad to get better testing and to get better treatment.
Why do I, like, Jack, I've talked to you here in the show, it might be 3 years ago, I'd say, at this stage, about Lyme disease. Why has nothing changed then if the figures are so misrepresented and, you know, and so much higher, as you're reporting them, as somebody who specifically deals and specializes in this area?
Right. Well, because I don't know. I mean, there's all people always talk about the politics of Lyme disease and the fact that the patients are gaslighted, they're treated badly about this. But, you know, the exact same thing is happening with long COVID now. People get sick with long COVID and they're just basically told, you know, you're just anxious. You know, you never had COVID. There's nothing wrong with you. So it's just the medical community doesn't accept patients with Lyme disease. They don't accept patients with chronic fatigue syndrome. They don't accept patients with ME. There's a huge barrier that patients, you know, have to experience with these mystery illnesses, Lyme being one of them.
So what more would you like to see done in this area? Or what more could we do?
Well, first off, we could start keeping records of how many cases of Lyme there are in Ireland, rather than the government saying, we guess there's 100 a year. You know, that there's probably 2,000 a year. You know, keep track. Keep, you know, the epidemiologist's responsibility is to keep track of that. That would be a good start. I think there needs to be education of GPs because they're really not aware of Lyme disease. You know, I've had patients that got tick bites and then they go to the GP and they said, oh, if you travel to America, like assuming that you can only catch Lyme disease in America. So there needs to be huge educational efforts on the part of GPs. And then I think there needs to be more investment and money and research and support for patients, including, you know, kind of centers of excellence, you know, for these conditions. You know, I've proposed this before. There needs to be centers in Ireland of people who specialize in these conditions, managing chronic Lyme, ME, CSF, long COVID. We don't have these centers. Patients are kind of left to their own will. And, you know, as you've heard on the call today, if appropriately diagnosed, this can be reversed with antibiotics, which is a miracle.
So if diagnosed and treated early. Is it a bacterial infection, Jack?
Yeah, it's bacteria. It's a bacteria. Borrelia burgdorferi is a bacteria, a spirochete, a type of bacteria that does respond to antibiotics if appropriately diagnosed and appropriately treated.
And is it always spread to humans by infected ticks?
We think so, pretty much so.
Is that the only way? Of it.
Yeah, pretty much. Ticks are the only insects that carry it. Now, you know, there are cases of mother-to-child transmission, the mother getting it and spreading it to the baby in the womb. But as a rule, it's only spread by ticks. Ticks, Borrelia is carried in the foregut of a tick. You have to get a tick bite to catch Borrelia.
I know this is the Awareness Month, I suppose, or Lyme Disease Awareness Month, where many activists and campaigners are trying to raise awareness about what Lyme disease is and the kind of support services that are out there. Anne is with us on the line as well, Jack, and I know you got in touch with me too about this. Do we have enough support services for people?
No, Andrea, we don't. And hiya, Dr. Jack, and thanks for all your support over the last number of years when no one else was listening. We appreciate it for. No one listened, Andrea. And this year I published my little book, and Dr. Lambert contributed a piece to it, and he just said the facts as he said them there in the interview, you know. We don't have accurate testing. There's not enough education for the general public and medical professionals. And our testing, there's at least something, there's something missing.
When were you diagnosed, Anne?
I got sick after a trip to the States in 95. And I was gathering symptoms over a 15-month period, and I got facial paralysis in 97. And I joined an email support group, Eurolyme, when they bought a computer in 2000, Andrea.
Yeah.
And I heard about this wonderful Lyme literate doctor in Flamatt in Switzerland, Dr. Meir. And I borrowed money in the credit union and went over there to get diagnosed. And I was at high risk of stroke. I had a SPECT scan in Basel Hospital, and I was at high risk of stroke. And I was diagnosed with Lyme disease and mycoplasma fermentans. And I had testing done in Switzerland, Germany and the States, and the results all, yeah.
I
was unlucky but lucky, because my GPs, after 8 years, they supported my decision to go abroad to be diagnosed. So they followed advice from Dr. Meir by facts and whatever. And look, I didn't get adequate treatment like the treatment that Dr. Jack is giving patients now. Mine was hit and miss over the years. But look, even last year, Andrea, I was very bad. My face and my tongue swelled up. And through Dr. Armin in Armin Labs, put me in touch with Dr. Rick Sector. And I was over there in July having procedures, removing a bad infection in my jawbone and my gums that had been there since day one. And the paralysis on my face has improved immensely since I had that done.
It must be very frustrating, Anne.
It's like banging your head against the wall. It's constant every year. And I don't understand what the issue is. And you know, Andrea, the sad thing is all the misdiagnosis. We have a young family now from the Midlands. You know, they think they all have it at this stage, you know. And at the launch of my book a few weeks ago, there was a patient from County Leash misdiagnosed with MS over 20 years ago and discovered it was Lyme disease he had. And you see, the medication for MS differs so much. You know, it depletes the immune system, kind of where we needed our immune system boosted up. It's a kind of opposite, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look, he got his speech back and he's happy about that, but his life is just a mess. Yeah.
Just finally, Jack, for people, you know, listening to this today, and I'm sure Anne and Trudy and Karen's stories resonate with a lot of the listeners, you know, given the numbers that you say are actually affected by this nationwide, what can or should people do if they're tuned in and think, do you know, I maybe feel I've been misdiagnosed and I think Lyme disease is something I have?
I think the thing is you, right now it's you have to base your suspicion of Lyme disease on history. You know, so if you're in the Wicklow Mountains in the middle of the summer and you get the flu, and 2 months later you get a Bell's palsy, you get aches and pains, joint pains all over, red flag, it's Lyme disease. you know. And even if you see don't see a bullseye rash. So I just think there needs to be, you know, a high awareness that Lyme can present with facial palsy, Lyme can present with neurological problems, it can present with summer flu, it can present with just arthritis all over. And I think, you know, until GPs and doctors are going to be willing to think about Lyme disease, mm-hmm. the patients are going to actually have to proactively put it on their list and let the doctor know, because there doesn't seem to be a lot of support for Lyme as a diagnosis to this day in the medical community.
Yeah, well, when you heard even Anne mentioned there, like having gone to the likes of Switzerland and Germany as well to see medical professionals there too previously over the years. Professor Jack Lambert, consultant in infectious disease at the Mater Hospital, also specialising in the area of Lyme disease. Professor Lambert, thank you for joining us on the show, and to Karen, Trudy and Anne as well for getting in touch and sharing their story. It's never easy, but if you want to do so, you can always drop me an email. That's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.